Paul here with today's tip to help you pass ACLS. After you've called for help and determined a patient isn't breathing but does have a palpable pulse, how often should you give a rescue breath? How does that change if the patient's heart stops and we no longer feel a pulse? Can you actually overventilate a patient in cardiac arrest? Those are just a few of the BLS knowledge questions you need to know to provide high-quality, uninterrupted CPR and is today's PASS ACLS tip topic. Let's start with the most basic first. Rescue breathing is provided when a patient is not breathing on their own but has a palpable carotid pulse. In this case, we'll give one breath every 6 seconds for approximately 10 breaths per minute. Once help arrives, oxygen can be attached to the BVM, if it isn't already, to deliver close to 100% oxygen to the patient. Depending on your setting and equipment, end-tidal CO2 can also be used on these patients and should be at least 35 millimeters of mercury. If you see a sudden drop in end-tidal CO2, immediately check the patient's pulse and rhythm on the ECG. Let's say this patient's now gone into V-fib and is in cardiac arrest. We should immediately start chest compressions and do good CPR until a defibrillator is available and continue chest compressions while the defib pads are attached to the patient. For V-fib or pulseless V-tach, the initial shock should be administered as soon as the monitor defibrillator is ready. The person doing ventilations in this case will deliver 2 slow and steady breaths with just enough to make the chest gently rise after each cycle of 30 chest compressions. We'll continue to give 2 breaths after each cycle of 30 chest compressions until the patient has return of spontaneous circulation or an advanced airway is placed. For ACLS, the 3 advanced airways include the endotracheal, or ET tube, a laryngeal mask airway, or LMA, and the esophageal tube airway. Esophageal tubes have various names. While insertion of an ET tube is the gold standard of airway maintenance, it is not a priority at the beginning of a code. Intubation or insertion of another advanced airway isn't in the adult cardiac arrest algorithm until after the 2nd shock or administration of epi on the non-shockable side. Once an experienced provider has confirmed placement of an advanced airway by auscultation of bilateral breath sounds, we should attach the bag to the airway's universal adapter and begin delivering 1 breath every 6 seconds. With an advanced airway, we no longer care about chest compression cycles and pausing for breaths. Compressions don't pause once an advanced airway has been placed. We simply give 1 breath every 6 seconds for a rate of approximately 10 breaths per minute. This is helpful for maintaining at least an 80% chest compression fraction because now, the only time we pause chest compressions is every 2 minutes to safely deliver a shock when indicated. End-tidal CO2 waveform capnography can be used with an advanced airway to ensure the airway's placement, measure the quality of CPR as indicated with an end-tidal CO2 above 10 millimeters of mercury, and as an indicator of ROSC if the end-tidal CO2 suddenly increases to 35 or more. While color-changing CO2 detectors can help confirm initial tube placement, they aren't as useful as quantitative waveform capnography. If the CPR coach or another team member notices the loss of a waveform or the peak is less than 10 millimeters of mercury, they should speak up. Loss of a waveform may indicate that the advanced airway has been displaced. A peak waveform less than 10 is an indicator of poor CPR compressions and may signal the need to change compressors. It's easy during the heat of a code to lose track of time and deliver breaths more frequently than the desired once every 6 seconds. Remember that unnecessary hyperventilation of patients has negative effects. Increased interthoracic pressure can compress the vena cava and decrease cardiac return, making CPR less effective. It can also cause the expulsion of too much CO2, affecting pH, causing respiratory alkalosis. The CPR coach or another team member should help monitor the rate of ventilations and give critical feedback when needed. I hope that you found this review of ventilation rates and ratios useful. There are other podcasts that go into far greater detail on this topic if you're interested. You can find links to some shows that I believe ACLS providers may find helpful on the pod resource page at passacls.com. I'm here to help you pass ACLS. Thanks for listening, and good luck with your class.